stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
All right, so I've started a Dark Sun game online, and I'm going to do a debrief. It maybe won't make a great deal of sense because I haven't really yet explained what I'm trying to do with this campaign. Done all my own rules for it, but here goes. So the big thing that happened was a character died. had six players. This is not unusual in old school games at low levels. Dark Sun is a brutal world. I like my random tables, so I was doing random encounters. They met some nasty two-hit die creatures. And yeah, Spencer Freethrall's character, Shadrach the elf, went down in the fight. Yeah, and this is, I suppose I wanted to get this off my chest, actually, that I found myself, when I rolled this, I realised I'd given everybody max hit points, and there are only a couple of modifiers to hit points, so I was pretty sure that I knew that Shadrach had six hit points. I remembered that he'd already lost one hit point to these creatures, and they did D6 minus one damage. I rolled a six. So there we go. There's five hit points. That takes him down to zero. Those are my rules. Zero hit points, you die. Pretty standard old school rule. We've been playing loads and loads of Black Hack, where when you get to zero hit points, you then go out of action. And then when at such point as you can be flipped over, you have the out of action roll, and there's only one, you know, there's only six. You roll a D6, and it's only on a six that you're properly dead. Any other one, you're basically getting back up again. So the Black Hat game, we've had some deaths, but it hasn't been very fatal. Here we go. First episode, first session. Spencer's character, down zero hit points, dead. I don't know, it doesn't feel great. But on the other hand, you know, that's what happens with the random tables. It's a perilous world. It's Dark Sun. They were out in the desert. There are all kinds of nasty creatures. That's set a tone. I don't think it's a terrible tone for the campaign. But there was that moment, as I say, I rolled that six. I knew what he was going to do, and I checked. I said to Spencer, what hit points you were on now. That when a referee asks you what hit points you're on before they tell you what damage, there can only be one reason why they're doing that. They're considering fudging a roll. I know that's why I did it. I was like, oh, five hit points. I'm going to announce that he's going to be dead. That's the end of that character. And I asked him, and I confirmed in my head. Now I knew he was on five hit points. I didn't fudge the roll. I just announced that he was dead. But I can only think, you don't normally ask what hit points people are on when you are about to announce damage. I can only think that's what was going through my head. I think for a moment I considered announcing a different, you know, just announcing a four instead of a five. I didn't do it, but yeah, I felt strongly inclined to do it. Now, I mean, that could have been the signal of a lot worse things happening. There were still quite a lot of these bugs alive at that point. I mean, that's the thing. When you're going with the random tables, that's what they rolled. I hadn't even considered when I was making the table that was a particularly powerful foe. But when the group met it, you know, it soon became clear. Oh gosh, the odds are stacked against them. But then there were 2d6 of them, and I rolled 8 of these things. So it was quite a scary encounter. So actually, they did well to come out. Well, they did. they didn't pull out the big gun straight away. I think they thought, well, this day could go on for quite a long time, so they were conserving psionic abilities and spells. Excuse me. So I remember there was a wizard still had a sleep spell, got through that encounter without using the sleep spell. A banish psionic ability was used to great effect, but only a couple of rounds in. Maybe I think only after Shadrach had already died. So maybe there's something there about resource management. I mean, certainly compared to the Black Cat game, the management of spells and things like that, it's more like an OSR game in that respect. Felt like there was more pressure there. Other things I was trying to do, so I went straight into the desert hex crawl. I'd really tried to keep how I was doing that simple. I don't know, hex crawling, maybe it's just my taste. It's, it always seems to drag a bit when I run it. I mean, it's funny, you can't put yourself in the player's shoes. You can't actually, the players are probably thinking when I roll and say, yeah, nothing happens that hour, they're probably generally relieved and happy because nothing's attacked them. But for me, if I do that too many times, oh yeah, nothing happens for that hour, nothing happens for that hour, I try and describe, but also they're moving through the sandy wastes, you know, there's just gently rolling sand. I don't know, maybe it drags a bit. I'll see how that goes. I mean, the big test, of course, is whether the players come back. So here's the thing about this game. So it's notionally a hack of Swords and Wizardry Continual Light. That's where it started. But it's basically, you know, a very simple, old school Dungeons and Dragons-y feel. It's definitely, I'm playing this one more old school than the Black Hack. There are still some quite abstract bits. I don't want people to, it doesn't feel even very Dark Sun for to have the players counting coins all the time. So I've done money in an abstract way. If they go exploring for treasure, it will be like a bag of gems or this rare statue or something like that. And then they can bring that back to town and get rich. I'm not going to have them lugging around big bags of gold or counting every penny. So I've done wealth in a very abstract way. Few other things I've really stripped down and done really simple, including XP. I've just had bad experiences with XP and I can't be bothered with it, and I really like milestone leveling. So with this, I've taken Continual Light, does it anyway. I'm just giving out, you know, one point at the end of the adventure, and then when they've got a certain number of adventures, they can level up. In fact, I'm not even giving out points this time. What I'm actually asking them to do is at the end of an adventure, they have to record on their character sheet, friend style, the one where, or the one with the... They have to write down a sentence describing the session. And that's, if they've got a number of those on their character sheet, if they've got the sufficient number to level up, then they can level up. But they're not recording points. It's not experience points. It's actually a line on the character sheet. And I've allowed them one conjunction, so they can have one and or but. But it's got to be one line. So this one might be the one where Shadrach died and, you know, we burnt the plant or whatever. So I'm doing that. But it is funny, getting to my point, that as I go through these various indie sort of iterations of D&D, I keep discovering why the way the old rule sets did it makes sense. I mean, I've said this before with my attempts at doing Westmarch, is that actually motivating a group of different characters in a Westmarch's game is much easier when you're giving out XP for killing monsters or for getting gold, because now everybody's got a motivation to go off in the wilderness. Doesn't matter what direction, eventually we'll bump into some monsters or some gold and we'll get some XP. So you can see why it works. Now, you don't need that for a campaign where there's an arch villain that everybody wants to see the end of. But with Westmarches, you know, shall we strike out north? Shall we strike out east? Shall we go back to that place? You need something, and you can do a lot worse than motivating by XP for monsters and XP for gold. Just thinking back to that fight, you know, one of the things, if you were giving out XP, at least the players that survive, they've had this overly difficult combat. Yeah, they had 8 of these things. They're all 2-hit die creatures. Against them, 6 went down to 5 1-hit die characters. Yes, a character died, but if you were giving out XP old school, they'd be able to say, hooray, well, at least we got this massive amount of XP for what was a far more difficult fight than perhaps one might have expected. And that's how these things all join up, isn't it? If you're saying, well, that's what I rolled on the random table, so that's what was there. That's easier to swallow if, for the survivors, you know, when they roll one of those slightly trickier encounters, if the survivors get a load more XP for it. So you can see those various parts, adventuring for killing monsters and gold, putting up with what's rolled on the random table, even though there's a whole different range of difficulties, and then getting XP rewards that actually suit the difficulty of the encounter. You can see how those parts actually do fit together quite well to make a coherent game. Thinking back to the fight now, you know, were they railroaded? You know, did I just spring a fight on them that was difficult? I mean, the first thing is, they could have pulled out the resources in a different order and that character wouldn't have died. So it needn't have been a fatal fight. I don't know. You can beat yourself up too much. Suffering a bit. I don't know if you've noticed, I get terrible hay fever at this time of year. Like really, really, really bad. And I'm suffering with it today. But there's lots of, you can beat yourself up too much. There's lots of upsides. I think they got a taste of how a Dark Sun game might go. The resource management, I tried to keep the resource management really, really simple. Just you're counting your days of water in the desert. And it's a hard one to gauge and get right. I think I did. I was worried I was actually being slightly too generous with the water. I was letting them carry too much, but actually it goes down pretty quickly. It gets a bit fiddly. You know, you've got players passing water back and forth because some players have got torchbearers and people to carry extra water and creatures to carry water on. So there's a lot of you know, so even something which you think, I've done this in the most stripped down and simple way, gets a little bit fiddly. But on the other hand, you know, the resource management, I think it is part of Dark Sun. You know, you've got to be really careful when you strike out into the desert. So I think they felt the bite on that without anybody dying of exposure. And it's a brutal world. A character died because they met some nasty creatures, and that's probably the shape of things to come. I hope I haven't put people off. We'll see. I think that's it for tonight. Oh, look here, I've got Dark Sun call-ins already. One from Conrad. Thanks very much, Conrad. And one from Jason, who is a player in the game. So I'm going to let those guys play us out today. Cheers very much for the call-ins.
Dave, Conrad Kinch here of 7-3 and Fourpence. Firstly, happy Easter to you and yours. And secondly, I think the main thing with any sort of thing in an RPG is, what does it give you in terms of story? And I suppose the thing that can be said for the cacti and the monster that you described is that... you know, they do establish Dark Sun as Planet of the Bastards. Now, whether that is useful in the long run is another question, but it's not a bad narrative note to hit in an introductory adventure. But I think you're right that this should be an opportunity for Ranger or Druid PCs to show off their chops and for them to sort of demonstrate their expertise, you know, sort of give them their opportunity to shine. The other thing is that I suppose in that encounter, and I think you've pitched it right, in that there's something to be gained, and there is a danger, rather than just danger, or at least just danger isn't interesting after the first encounter. But is this a plant that the PCs could use? Could they use it to defend something? Can they rely on these cacti as a source of water? over time once they've learned how to make use of it. I suppose, yeah, just going back to it, you've sort of hit the nail on the head, but the wildlife is sort of important to the theme of Dark Sun.
Hey Dave, I thought that first session of the Dark Sun went great. Definitely the push, the oppression of the resource management and the deadliness of the world are very important. Please keep both those. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that my scholar didn't have to reveal his true nature yet. It was a lot of fun. I hope to be able to play again in the future. So keep up the great work. I think, so Dave will talk about it at some point, I'm sure, but he's done an excellent job at distilling Dark Sun down to just a couple pages of rules. Now, he doesn't go into background setting, the setting in those rules, but I got to tell you, he has the rules nailed. If you're going to play Dark Sun, play Dave's version. It's great.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at D_percentile.